This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey all you heroes, hawks, heralds, crows, pirates, and wardens. Welcome to the Dragon Age Lorecast, where we unpack, discuss, and galaxy brain about all the lore behind the Dragon Age series.
We are so excited to bring you this podcast. Every episode, we'll be talking about a different topic in the Dragon Age universe, from character deep dives to exalted marches and elven gods. We will cover it all.
There will be spoilers. And always remember, swooping is bad.
Hello and welcome to the Dragon Age Lorecast, where we talk about Dragon Age and its lore. I am one of your hosts, Austin, also known as Teacup.
And I'm your other host, Shelby or SheCup.
And we have some guests with us here today, and I will let them introduce themselves because we are here for our once a month, the very special patron chat. And so we have some of our first enchanter tier patrons here with us. And so first, the one and only Colcashins.
Hello, how's it going?
And then we have Steven.
Hello, great to be here.
And then MacMan.
Yo.
Ambrosian.
Hello.
And welcome to your first patron chat. Glad to have you here. And then last, we have LVCC13.
Hello. Finally got it working. Stupid technology hates me today.
Well, we're glad you're here. And so we're here to talk about Dragon Age. And we have a very special topic. Shelby, do you want to tell us our topic?
Our topic is, which romanceable NPC would you bring home to meet the parents? And after the break, we'll talk about which romanceable NPC would you definitely not at all ever even consider bringing home to meet the parents.
Who wants to go first with who you would bring home to meet the parents? I think Lizzie wants to go first. Or
okay, so this is actually kind of hard for me because my parents are amazing people and they adopt literally all of my friends and everyone I've ever brought home. But I think the obvious one for who I would definitely bring home, it's a tie between Alistair and Cullen, because you know that they would just be so polite and respectful to my parents. And then my mom, being the very insightful person she is, would be like, oh, poor baby's trauma, I'm just going to take care of you. And then she'd end up liking them more than she likes me. So
That is what happened with me and Shelby. My mom loves her way more than she loves me.
That is not true. She loves you very much.
That is true.
It's a little true.
I think a bit of a different relationship with my parents than Liz. Not bad, but like my parents are uber religious, uber conservative, coming from the rural South. So I think it would just be fun to bring Liliana home. This former nun who was very much a part of the LGBTQ community, which we'll see how my dad handles that. But a very, very, and also she's just a good person, I think. Like, if you soften her in Inquisition, she's very much a good person. But also, like, I think it would just be a... I always related to her for her ideas of, like, questioning her beliefs. Am I doing the right thing? Am I a good person like I've tried to be? And I think just her, she would gel with my parents, but also question them, which I think is also something I'm looking for in a partner, honestly.
So yeah. I'll go next. My mom is a diva, like majorly. She has a different theme every year for Christmas, which I thought the theme for Christmas was Christmas, but she has a different decorating theme and she gets new decorations every year. So I think she would absolutely adore either Vivian or Dorian, who both are very stylish, very hip, very like conscious of their appearances. I feel like they would smell good too, which is always a plus. So for that reason and that reason primarily, I would definitely bring home either one of them. I guess I said romanceable NPC, so Vivian would not count, but Dorian would be my answer.
It's your podcast. You can change the rules if you want to.
That's true. That's true. But we'll stick to what I wrote a week ago or earlier this week.
So at first, I also kind of thought of possibly bringing Alistair or Colin, just because I really love those characters. My family is split, so my parents are not together. Very close with one half, very much not close with the other. Now, the side I am not close with, I would bring Anders and Dorian as friends because they would start chaos, and I love that. But if I was meeting my dad's side of the family, I would actually bring Zevran, because a thing I remember from the Iron Bowl deep dive was the emotional intelligence, and I feel like Zevran has that as well. He just won't admit when he has a problem, but he's able to read other people very well, so I think he would fit in very well with my father's side of the family, especially since there's going to be a lot of cultural differences. I think he'd handle that with grace.
I actually really do agree with that about Zevran, because I think we have done Zevran's deep dive, but he is very emotionally intelligent. But I think the difference with him and Iron Bull is that Iron Bull doesn't really hide that part of himself. And I think that Zevran does. But that's a really good point, and thank you for bringing that one up.
All right. Well, I decided to go with Josephine, which is honestly kind of really weird for me because she's a political person, like big into the game, and I hate politics. So it's kind of weird to begin with there. But she's also a, you know, very kind and caring person and, you know, calm, you know, doesn't really... Like, we know from her story that she, from her backstory, that she tried to be a bard and she just couldn't do it because of the violence. And I think that's the type of person that my parents would get along with very well.
Let's be honest, it doesn't hurt that she has money.
Yeah. And right. That she has a heart of gold and is just the most lovable person ever.
I mean that too, but also money.
But she doesn't have money.
Yeah, I feel like that's a whole big part of her backstory is like,
oh, you're right. I haven't done anything with Josephine and Inquisition in a very long time.
I love her. She can do no wrong.
Well, the thing with Josephine is I feel like when she's talking about her financial situation, it's kind of one of those things where she's like, oh, we used to be billionaires, but now we're only have like $15 million.
I was going to say, is she actually poor or is she rich person poor?
She is Schitt's Creek poor.
That's what I was going to compare to as well.
She doesn't get caviar anymore. She doesn't eat caviar anymore. She buys her own, she buys things pre-owned. Her buys from Maserati's pre-owned.
Yes. I am honestly going to say I had a hard time with this one because this is just a story, because it wouldn't be just taking the person home to meet my parents, because I'm one of five children. And my family operates as a unit, even though they don't intend to. They just happen to be there. Like, Shelby accidentally met all of my siblings the same day she was supposed to meet my parents. Even one that lived in several hours away. So I was thinking about that, and my family doesn't do very well with people who require a lot of emotional attention. And honestly, all the romances in Dragon Age require a lot of emotional attention. So I have no idea who I bring home. Maybe Shelby could answer. Who would you bring to meet my parents?
To meet your family. Okay, well, that's fine. You're just going to have to answer this for my family next. I think Bethany. I think Bethany would be a good option.
She's not romanceable.
You're right. I pinned us against a wall here. Maybe then I would say Sebastian. He doesn't need a lot of handholding, but he's very bland. And I feel like he would just sit and like not say anything.
If I'm gonna be honest, no romance from two would want someone you bring home to your family. They're all different types of don't bring home.
I disagree that with is that. Fair. I honestly think Alistair would get along just fine with my family because he's got the sarcasm and joking thing down, and that is very much how we are.
The two, just from Dragon Age 2.
Oh, just from two? Yeah, no, don't bring any of those crazy people home. What are you, nuts?
I would bring home, I thought real long and hard about it, And honestly, Lizzie, when you mentioned Alistair, I was like, oh my God, how could I forget about Alistair? He would be great. But no, I'm bringing home the bull. And honestly, I think my family would love him. Big, tall, strong, emotionally mature, emotionally stable. Even though like he didn't grow up with a family, he would 100% be able to like have picked up on those dynamics ahead of time. Even though he doesn't have a relationship with his parents, I totally believe he would have a relationship with mine. But if I ever had a falling out with my parents, he would also 100% be like, fuck those bitches. You don't need them. Just we're good. Just the two of us.
That's a sign of a really good partner, honestly.
I'm definitely bringing him home.
Okay. I have an answer now. I think I would do Liliana, mainly because, at least with my mom and my sisters, they're so all very well read in literature and all that stuff. And I feel like Liliana is also very well read and would be able to have that kind of bonding there would probably be the closest. But again, like, they need a lot of emotional attention.
That's fair. You didn't answer my question, Austin.
I honestly would bring Dorian to meet your parents because I just feel like, again, like he would pick up on both of our families are sarcastic, but your family is a specific type of sarcastic. And I think Dorian would fit in with that type a little better than anyone else.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Like I said, my mother is a diva, so.
Mm-hmm.
That's all there is to say. Are we ready to go to the mid-break?
I think we are.
What makes your ram so special?
Well, he's always brought the family luck. And his advice helped us make our fortune.
Your ram offered advice?
How do you get your hair to do that, Dorian? With magic?
With proper hygiene and grooming. Maybe all three of you should get acquainted.
Kirkwall's not brown enough for me. But hey, no darkspawn.
Ferelden wasn't that brown. The dirt and muck gave it character.
All right. Well, welcome to the middle of the show where we talk about everything about the podcast, but not the lore of Dragon Age. And it's here where we thank our patrons. Thank you to all of our patrons. A special thank you to our first patrons, Genesis and Lisa M, our divine tier patron, Kit, and our very special thank you to our Nug King, Lewis H. If you'd like to join us on these chats or just support us in general, you can go to patreon.com/DALorecast and sign up there. And you can get anything from ad-free episodes to coming on the show with us once a month. And you can do that. We greatly appreciate that. If you can't support us financially, we totally get that. Another great way to support us is to leave us ratings and reviews on Apple and Spotify. If you leave us a review with 5 stars and kind words on Apple or a comment on one of our episodes, we will read it out on a future episode of the show. And I actually don't think we have any to read. I think we are finally caught up on all our Spotify comments.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, so that's great. So if you want to leave us some more, we'd greatly appreciate that. We appreciate all the support. You can also come and hang out with us on Discord, on the Cups Podcasting and More Discord server. You can find that link and a link to the Patreon in the episode description. And I think that's all for the middle of the show.
All right, let's get back to it.
Have a care where your eyes linger, Alistair.
Yes, well, don't worry. It's not what you think.
I see.
I was looking at your nose.
And what is it about my nose that captivates you so?
I was just thinking that it looks exactly like your mother's.
I hate you so much.
I was one of the crows you hired to kill the Grey Wardens.
I thought you looked familiar.
Well, I just wanted to report that I failed my mission, Loghain.
You don't say.
I'm terribly broken up over it.
Well, thank you kindly for informing me.
Oh, you fear barbarians will swoop down upon you.
Yes, swooping is bad.
So I think this question, who would you not bring home, is probably the more fun question to ask. So, who would you not bring home and why? Just to make it more difficult and more fun, let's say we can't have any repeated answers.
I will go first.
You're so fast.
I'm not bringing home Anders, and I didn't talk about this before anyone else could. Like, who's going to bring home a literal terrorist extremist? No. And also, even before that, he's just so annoying. So, well, it's me. My life is awful, man. It's like, oh my God. There's literally like a dozen other people in this fandom who have a way worse and harder time than you. You just didn't like being stuck in a tower. Yeah, I get that things are bad, but you were also in the Ferelden Tower. You weren't even in the Kirkwall Tower originally. Like, come the fuck on, dude. God. All right, I'm done.
Also, I just have to add to this rant a little bit. If you do bring home Anders to your family, there's always the probability that he'll just stay and then be part of your family forever.
Oh my God, he is a U-Haul gay. I almost totally forgot about that. No, my parents would absolutely hate every single vibe about him. Mm-mm. Can't take him home. I'm sorry for taking this answer from everybody else because I feel like this is the most objectively correct one, but I just had to get all of that out.
But Cash, you could use the line to finally say, but Daddy, I can change him.
I gotta go on mute so I can go puke.
I've already been sick enough this week. I did not need that spot in my brain, Austin. Thank you for that.
I'm happy me and Cash are on the same page because boo Anders.
I'm going to go on because I'm going to say I'm just going to say something that's probably going to shock everyone in the entire DA fandom. I would not bring Fenris home to meet the parents because someone in my family is going to say something that sets this man off. And then my family is going to be murdered. And I can't have that.
Yeah, I know you love Fenris, but that is fair. Fair assessment.
I'm just imagining, because I'm thinking, mine is Isabella. Because I'm imagining my very conservative Christian mother coming, hey, this is Isabella. And then just bringing me to the side and said, honey, bless your heart, who is that? That's what I'm imagining if I brought home Isabella.
I feel like, yes, I see that. But I also feel like Isabella also knows how to dress for the occasion. Like, she dresses the way she does because she wants to. But she, as a pirate, as a rogue, she has to have some means of, like, being able to blend in. So I feel like Isabella would know how to dress for the occasion and, like, re-companion dialogue. Isabella is highly emotionally intelligent. And so
I'm not disagreeing.
She might be able to read that. She might be able to read the room in there.
I get that, and I totally understand where you're coming from, but because I've had partners I've had to bring home who I'm like, my opinion is, if you are not comfortable with how you are coming home to meet my family, I don't want you to conform to them. I want them to conform to you. Because if I had to choose between either one of you, if I really care about you, I'm choosing you over them.
Okay, so I had to think about this one for a minute. Because my dad's family is the side of the family I'm close with. They are very laid back, very accepting. The whole gentle parenting thing, that is that entire side of the family. They accept everyone. So I had to think about it, and I would absolutely not bring Sebastian home. I wouldn't. That is the only person that I can think of where it wouldn't go well, just because he's so, I don't want to say obsessed with his faith, but he's so entrenched in it. And the whole, like, not until the whole purity thing that he had going on, my family would probably look at me and be like, is he okay? So I think, because, like, Liliana is very devout, very into her faith. A lot of characters are. I feel like Sebastian takes that a little too far. And so my family would definitely very much be looking at me going, does he need a minute to, like, cry? Is he okay? Is there something wrong? So that's probably the only person I would not bring home.
Here is my analysis of Sebastian. Because, and I say this as someone whose career is in the church in the South, who spends a lot of time around all of that. Sebastian is the closest person to some real life religious people I've ever seen in Dragon Age. And Sebastian is the kind of person who comes up to random women at church and talks to them about their posting with a drinking or posting with a revealing shirt.
Yep, that's, my family would be like, oh, hi. Like, they'd accept him. They would not be rude at all. That's not at all in our culture. But they would just be very confused and would not know how to handle him. And they would kind of look at me like, what are you doing? Where did you find him? Is he okay? So.
I recently had someone to describe Sebastian the best way I've ever heard. He is a annoying, lawful, good paladin in a party of chaotic neutral rogues. And that's not something that flies with us.
I feel like that explains so much why he's just not the most interesting character. If he had been in one of the other two games, I think we might have different opinions about him, because he might mesh better with companions on either side of that versus in DA2, where he really doesn't get along with anyone. He kind of gets along with Fenris because Fenris, like, has questions and things like that. But honestly, like, other than that, I can't see them, like, hanging out or anything. Whereas even though Anders and Fenris hate each other, you know, they're there at the Hanged Man every week playing Wicked Grace with everybody. They're all still there at the Hanged Man every week hanging out as friends, even though they hate each other.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And I think that also this is, you know, again, a failure of writing and really him being a character that came through as a DLC character, because he just didn't get, you know, the same amount of time and development that everybody else did. But who wants to go next?
Well, since Isabella was already taken, I guess my choice will be Meryl. And, like, even though out of all the people that we have seen in Dragon Age that uses blood magic, she's the most responsible one, there is still that risk that something happens. And
not to interrupt, I'm sorry. But she's not the most responsible. She's just not evil.
I was about to say, what game are you playing?
I think Steven is trying to say is she's the most responsible we ever have ever seen with blood magic specifically.
Yes, that's what
Morgan
I mean.
Morgan gets that prize, not Meryl.
No way. Morgan doesn't
use blood magic, though.
Yes, she does.
I think as the resident DA2 expert, this is going to be my opinion. I think whether Meryl has the potential to be the most responsible with blood magic, but it is very easy for her to cross and not be the most responsible with blood magic. Because let's think of the broad, what broader implications could happen. If you're not careful with Meryl and you don't choose the right choices with her, her entire clan gets wiped out because of her blood magic choices. Now let's add another layer to here. You now have, if you have a Dalish hero of Ferelden, you now have their clan wiped out by a blood mage, which now would potentially alienate this hero and highly powerful political person of the Grey Wardens against mages in that point. And so it's the kind of my thing about that is like Meryl both at the same time has the potential to be the most responsible with blood magic, but also on the flip side, if wrong choices are made, she could cause a lot of chaos for the world.
Sorry, I just want to jump in here super quick to say two super quick things. First, Morgan definitely uses blood magic in the dark ritual. Second, I just want to point out that Meryl gets her entire clan killed, and neither my hawk nor my herald ever kill their whole village of people with their blood magic. Thanks, bye.
You can't use blood magic with the herald.
Yes. Oh, not the herald. Sorry, my hero. My apologies.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe responsible isn't the right word. Most aware of the risks is probably more accurate to say. But yes, that choice. But also at the same time, I guess I'm going off on a little tangent here. Also at the same time, the clan getting wiped out, you gotta also put some of the blame on her keeper for that too. Meryl isn't fully without blame, but she's not solely to blame. But going back to the parents thing, yes, I don't think it would be a good idea to bring a blood mage home to meet the parents.
At least we all agree, yes. No one in two should be brought home to their parents. They're all the worst choices possible.
Fair.
They're not the worst choice possible, in my opinion.
But we can't roll my opinion. Be sad.
True. My opinion is that the worst possible person to bring home to meet the parents, drum roll please, is Ogryn. He smells. He's drunk. He probably has vomit in his beard.
Not a romance option, though.
He's sexist. He's probably prejudiced in other ways. He's just awful, and everybody should kill Ogryn in all of their playthroughs.
Okay. I've never killed Ogryn, but I've definitely not done anything with him.
I just think he's hilarious. Like, he's a terrible person, but he's funny, so I keep him around and I get his friendship up because it's all the conversations are just so funny with him.
Yeah, that's true. He does have a lot of really funny interactions with Zevran. But my real answer, since Ogryn is not romanceable, would be Solas. I feel like he's such a know-it-all. And that would not fit in well with my father and brother at all. Like, no, that not a good situation there.
Also, he seeks the end of the world. So there is that little caveat about it.
I mean, sure, yeah. But like, my parents don't live in Thedas, so it's fine.
That's a good point.
For now.
I kind of forgot about Solas, but that's a very good point. I wouldn't bring him home either, just because his attitude in general, especially if he got sort of that condescending way that he tends to talk about into the Dalish because of his previous experiences. I agree with you. It's not a good choice.
Well, he would probably run out on you before he can meet your parents anyway, so.
That's true.
He would so get punched in the face by my brother, by my sister, by me.
That is a very true statement. And Shelby, I'm just going to say that I would have sold tickets, would have like recorded and streamed to the world to watch Solas meet your grandfather.
Solas would no longer exist.
That is
true. Would be funny.
Okay, this probably won't be as controversial as I think it is, but I think for me, the one person I would not want to bring home to meet my family would actually be Morrigan, because I honestly think that she would say something really, really rude to one of my family members and it would just be a whole thing. My family's really, really nice and they're really forgiving and we give each other crap all the time. We're constantly teasing each other, but Morrigan is, as much as I love her and love her character, depending on your actions and how you talk to her, she's just so mean. And we're not mean. We're rude in my family a lot of the time, and we're sarcastic, but we're not mean.
To be fair, she can't, like we've discussed by others, she can be diplomatic. She can be. Like we've seen in Inquisition, that she can be diplomatic and fair to others to an extent. But yeah, she is rude. She would be mean.
Plus, I wouldn't want the jokes about how did you land someone who's so much hotter than you, which I know I would get from my brother.
Honestly, same.
You could bring her to pick on your little brother, or your brother, older brother, depending on how old his brother is. I would let her pick on my little brother.
He's older.
But that's about it.
I feel like she would be excellent at bringing your siblings, anyone's siblings, down a peg.
That's true. I might need to change my answer. Although I will say I love that none of us have mentioned who we all talked about in the patron chat before this. No one said Sarah.
She was on my short list of people I would never bring home, to be fair.
Yeah, my family would be like, why did you bring this lesbian home? This doesn't make sense on so many levels. Why does she have beads?
I feel like my family would just see her, because I know she's not a child, but she is one of the younger companions. So I feel like my family would just see her as sort of like another daughter, another friend. But I also feel like my dad would see me bring a woman home and go, I knew it. And so he would just accept her immediately, even if she did get a little chaotic with her pranks. I feel like she'd fit in very well with my younger brother.
I mean, honestly, that's how my dad would react if I brought home Dorian.
Has everybody answered the second round?
I think so.
Yeah, overall, I think that there's more people I would never bring home to meet the parents than people that I would.
I think I would sooner bring Sarah to my family than yours.
That's fair.
If I brought Cassandra home, my family would be like, okay, shockingly surprising, but we understand.
It's fair.
All they'd have to do is look at the cheekbones and be like, that makes sense.
I was just going to say, I was going for personality. Like, I could see how this is compatible with you.
I was just going to say that I will refrain from making a snarky comment about her writing, but just going to leave it at that.
We've all listened to the episode. We know.
I know. I don't need to repeat myself 18,000 times. So I just want to remind everyone of my stance. But if we've all answered, if anybody wants to share any final thoughts about anything we've talked about today, we can. Or Austin, if you want to go through everybody giving a chance to plug anything they have going on, we can do that.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and do that. We'll start again with Kolkashins.
Hello, goodbye. Everybody should join the Discord because it is one of the best places on the internet. And everybody should join the Patreon so you can come and hang out with me and everybody else, but most especially me. Thanks.
Yeah, and then we'll go with Steven next.
It was fun being here. Crimson Knight on Discord.
Yeah, and then MacMan.
Hey, I'm MacMan813 on the Discord. I don't really do much just because I'm super busy, but I'll just want to shout out, give love to all these Robots Radios podcasts. Honestly, I've been listening to a lot of the Two Girls One Shit podcasts. 100% give it a listen. Just thought I'd shout them out.
Then Ambrosia?
I guess I had fun here. I don't really have any podcasts or anything to shout out, but everyone is welcome to add me on Xbox or any other socials I have listed.
Yeah, awesome. And then LVCC13.
I am LVCC13, and normally I am on Twitch, but I'm kind of mad at them right now and super busy. So right now, best way to see what I've got going on is just on Discord. Definitely join the Cups Discord. It's so much fun. It is mayhem. Mayhem, and we love it.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you all for being here. We greatly appreciate our support. A special thank you to our Nug King patron, Lewis H. And a special thank you to all of you who listen to the Dragon Age Lorecast. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week. Thanks for listening to the Dragon Age Lorecast. You can find us on Twitter at DALorecast.
If you have any lore questions, topics to unpack, or side character suggestions, join our Cups Podcasting and More Discord server. It's easily the best place on the internet. You can also support us financially through our Patreon. You can find us there on patreon.com/DragonAgeLoreCast.
The Dragon Age Lorecast is part of the Robots Radio Network. For more information about the Robots Radio Network, join the Discord server via the link in our episode description.
If you enjoyed the show or learned something new today, please subscribe, leave us a review, and join the Patreon. And if you enjoyed our intro and outro music, give a big thank you to Pipe Man Studios. Thank you, Pipe Man. Thanks again for listening to the Dragon Age Lorecast. We'll see you next time.
When a wasteland detective and a vault girl cross paths, no criminal is safe.
You're both under arrest.
Don't move a muscle if you know what's good for you.
Based in Bethesda's Fallout series, follow Walter and Bunny as they traverse the Texas Commonwealth and New Vegas, busting big crime rings.
We'll need all we can to expand into Vegas territory.
And surviving anything the wasteland can throw at them.
It's him! It's the Mothman!
Featuring a series of nail-biting narratives and guest stars from across the Fallout community. It's anybody's guess what thrilling case is up next.
War never changes, does it, Bunny?
No, it certainly does not.
True Vault Escapades, a Fallout audio drama, available anywhere you get podcasts.